This is Devin with the Shark Bone Podcast, and you're listening to Redemption, a most excellent Star Wars podcast on the RPG Academy Network.
This is Redemption, an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars role-playing game system.
Hey everyone, this is Kendall. I'm interrupting your normal episode intro to let you know that this is not a normal episode. Chris and Michael sat down with the crew of Dice for Brains, and we ran, by popular demand, a crossover episode. Unfortunately, due to our two podcasts being out of sync in time and space, we couldn't use the original characters. So Chris and Michael went over to work with Ross and the Dice for Brains crew and did a three-part one-shot called the Hintaro Hustle. This is part one, and the next two parts will be coming out every 2 weeks on our off weekend.
Welcome to the Redemption Dice for Brains crossover event. This is the first episode. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hopefully you're hearing some new and familiar voices. I'm Ross. I'm going to be the GM. Let's meet the characters and the players for this session.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris. Today I will be playing C2M8. He is a protocol droid. He is silver. And his big motivation is he really wants to prove himself to the Empire so he can move up in the ranks. His ultimate goal is to move into the inner circle with the Emperor himself.
Oh, awesome.
Wow, that's cool. Hey, everybody, I'm Susan White. I am playing Lynx. Lynx is a gank assassin. She is one of a very few female of her species assassins. She's completely covered in armor, and she has a bit of a chip on her shoulder about being female. So her motivation is that she wants to fit in with the group and be accepted and just don't talk about it, okay?
Gotcha.
Understood. My name is Michael Wallenschlager. I'll be playing the role of Bluescrack Gert, also known as Blue. Blue is a medium-height Gamorrean, fancies himself a warrior monk, and is constantly looking to improve his abilities because without improving, there is no progress.
Excellent. All right. Well, that seems like an interesting little cast of characters we've assembled. This story will be taking place on the Quen Space Station, which is sort of this gateway to the outer rim and hut space. There's a lot of hut dominant control, but I'm actually interested in C2M8. How did you end up on the Quen space station? Because you're part of the Empire, correct?
Correct. One of the current Emperor's hands is actually going through this area and has given him a mission to recover an item.
So your ship is actually docked at the Quen space station, because it could dock these massive Imperial ships.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And Lynx, so you are employed by one of the huts in the area, correct?
That is correct, sir.
And how did you come to be employed by a hut, as that is not normally how that arrangement goes, especially for gank?
Well, let me tell you, I was born on Ner Shaddaa and raised from birth to be a assassin. My family was very angry with me, though, and they did not agree with my choice of career at all. After I got fired from my first job from a small disagreement between my compatriots, I came to work for Gaz Fotaka, my current boss.
Okay. And Blue, you also work for Gaz, what was that, Lynx?
Gaz Fotaka is his name.
Got you. So Blue, you also work for Gaz Fotaka?
Yep. Whole family work for Gaz.
For how long? Like the whole family all the way back? I mean, you're not normally found on space stations, are you?
Boss took family from planet years ago. Father, all elder father, mother, all work for Gaz.
Interesting. And you're like a bodyguard, right? That's sort of the arrangement?
Yes.
Gaz is a shell hut. He's not particularly physical. The armor does most of that work. All right, well, as this is going to be our first adventure together, we are going to need a destiny pool. Everybody grab a force die. Let's see what we're dealing with to start with.
All right.
Okay. Ooh, I have one light side.
One light side from Lynx.
Two light side from Blue.
Two light side from Woo-hoo! Blue.
One dark side from me.
C2M8 and I are in league with two dark side points. So we're looking at three light side and two dark side for this adventure. It's a nice little balance. All right. Everybody ready to get started then?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Where we open is a dirty, dim room. It's this makeshift docking station for cleaning droids that keep the alleyways of the Quen space station nice and tidy. It's really dense here, especially in the recreational areas where most of the gambling and most of the living happens. The whole bottom third of the space station is just ship repair, docking, that kind of stuff. But upstairs, it's dirty, greasy Vegas. It's nothing but fun. And you're in one of these little dark back rooms. It's a secret meeting. It's a tall ceiling. There's lots of cables running across, random patches of grease and corners, and halfway up the wall, there's this streaming blue light coming in from a window, just letting in all this neon from the constant party that's happening outside. And Gaz Fataka is amassed on this little platform. He's a giant rippling hut. He's a shell hut, so he's got all of this armor on, but you can distinctly see all of the places where it's supposed to meet, and these seams are kind of starting to show in it, where blubber and mass is starting to seep its way out of the armor. Gaz doesn't even wear the helmet anymore. It just wouldn't fit on his massive head. He's really, really light tan, almost like a yellow across his face with these brownish green tinges towards his back skin coloring. Blue and Lynx are seated near him or standing around him, keeping a watchful eye on the single entrance to this location, which a droid has just come through. This has been an arranged meeting, but Gaz doesn't do anything without at least a little help. Plus, he's got keen interest in what this droid could offer, especially so close to his shell ceremony.
C2M8 walks up in front of the hut, bows very graceful for a robot, and then just looks right at him and says,
"You are great, powerful, mighty Gaz Fataka. I am here to request your assistance in recovering a item that has been stolen from my employer." "Can I secure something useful for you? Why? Do you know who my employer is?"
"Ya, Urabata. Unugubugu."
"Can I secure the rights to the Hollow Hintaro Suites? My employer is the Hand himself. If you do something good for him, of course he will do something good for you."
And Gaz the Hutt, he's got these fat neck rolls that extend over the top of the shell armor. And when he turns his head to look at you, Blue and Lynx, it takes a really long time. The helmet does most of the work for him usually, so he hasn't used a lot of these neck muscles in a really long time. But he stares at you with these kind of droopy eyes.
Blue turns away from his gaze with his head down toward the floor.
"Whatever you think, sir."
"Master, I would caution you against going into an alliance with a representative from a hand. They can be very dangerous."
"Yes,
Master, whatever you say."
Gaz the Hutt moves his fat, slug-like neck back around to face you, C2M8. And he takes a long pause, rolls his lip back and forth.
Thank you very much for your assistance in this. I promise you, we will be back within 36 hours, and I know that my master will be very impressed with your assistance.
Gaz moves this mass and shell and starts spinning himself around in this laborious effort to start slithering out the door. And the three of you are united as a unlikely group of allies.
C2M8 looks at the two of them.
I trust that since your master finds you adequate at your jobs, that we will not fail. Is this true?
How dare you? I am more than adequate at my job. You hulking piece of metal!
As long as your information is good.
Our information is always good. I suggest that we start in the gambling area. The person we are looking for is known to be a gambler.
You need to be more specific. The whole station's a gambling area.
Yes, what does he look like?
That's a great question. What do I know about him?
Well, you know his name is Spade Pontu. He is a male human, and that he is a prolific Hintaro player.
Okay. C2M8 just looks back at the other two.
We are looking for a male human who enjoys playing Hintaro and goes by the name Spade Pontu.
Spade Pontu. What kind of a name is that? Whatever, we will follow you. Do you have a picture that we can examine on our data pads?
Definitely.
All right. C2M8 reaches into a little, not quite a backpack, but it's a little bigger than a pouch. Sits on his hip.
Okay.
He pulls out a data pad, and as soon as he turns it on, right from the top of it, there's a little holo emitter, and the Emperor's image actually appears. And it kind of spins around slowly, and he types a few things on the data pad and says,
"Here's a picture of the gentleman we are after."
What appears in the holo projection is mostly chin and teeth. It's this big smile plastered across this guy's face. He's got one of those big divoted chins where it almost looks like he's got a butt attached to the bottom of his face. It's just massive and sticking straight out farther than his nose. He's got kind of dirty flowing hair and bright eyes and pale complexion, more than likely because he spends most of his time in backroom gambling dens.
So he's like a bleached Gaston.
Yeah, except he's like skinnier. Like he doesn't have the upper body of a brawler type. He is very, svelte. But big teeth, big toothy smile.
All right.
Blue puts a big finger up to his porcine nose and blows a honk of snot onto the floor.
Blue, stop. I told you that is so rude.
He's ugly for a human.
I don't know. He's not bad looking.
I agree. He is ugly. But I find all humans ugly. Except for the Emperor. Shall we go?
Nice.
Very well. Lead the way.
All right, C2M8. How do you plan on tracking this guy? I mean, I know you've got the local backup here, so they'll hopefully be able to translate the layout, but how are you actually planning on tracking this guy down?
That's a great question. Can I spend one of these light side points and create a contact here on the station?
Absolutely. You now have a contact. Tell me about your contact.
I think he is a repair technician, works on the holo units. And okay. C2M8 knows him because anytime he's been in this area and he's been damaged, that's who he goes to for repairs.
So when C2M8 gets injured on some shore leave, he goes to this repair tech for repairs?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. What's his name or her name?
His name is Jock.
Jock. All right. And Jock works for the Hollow Hintaro sector, so he is responsible for a lot of the communication that runs between the docked ships and the gambling sector here on Quen. So he is the one that keeps the money flowing from the Empire into the Hutt's pockets, basically. So he kind of gets a lot of leeway around the area. And what, you wanted to just give him a call on your comm?
Yeah.
So Jock picks up the comm.
Hey, what's up?
I'm in need of your assistance.
Oh, yeah? What'd you get torn off this time?
Luckily for both of us, nothing has been torn off. I am looking for a person of interest, and I was hoping that you could point me in the right direction.
Sure, maybe. Who are you looking for?
A human male named Spade Pontu. He has a obsession with Hintaro.
Yeah, I know him.
Oh, excellent. Could you point me in the direction where he might be?
Sure, he's going to be in the Underground Hintaro Tournament, I'd assume. He wrecked us last year. Ugh, that guy cleaned us out. He might be playing in the official tournament, but I doubt it. I don't think credits are going to interest that guy anymore.
What would he be playing for?
Anything. They play for anything in that underground room. Ships, guns, spice, whatever. Stuff that credits has difficulty getting.
Do they play for bodyguards?
Yeah, of course. Hutts run it.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. I believe that gives us a good place to go.
Yeah, good luck finding it.
Could you perhaps point us in the direction that we should start?
Yeah, like 20 years ago, don't be a droid and be really good at Hintaro? That's invite only.
You wound me.
I got a little spray that'll take that right off. Don't worry about it.
Thank you for your assistance.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, you get in, you let me know, okay?
I will. And if I get in, you should always bet on me.
And then C2M8 hangs up the call.
And you are standing in an empty back alley meeting room, devoid of Hutt, but plentiful in grease stain and poor lighting.
C2M8, I do not think I like what you are thinking about. What are you thinking about?
I was simply going to have you play in the tournament, and your auntie could be Blue's services.
I don't work for leagues.
I feel she could win.
I do have some experience playing Hintaro, and Blue would not really be in much danger because we will leave before they can collect the debt. So, Blue, what do you say?
But I would not be in danger at all.
Yes, I know. Very well, C2M8. Let us go and see if we can find this secret gambling room.
Well, I believe our best option would be for you to go prove yourself in the standard tournament, and then perhaps get an invitation to the underground tournament.
That will take too much time, C2M8. We must find someone who has an entrance ticket and take it from them.
Does that sound like a good idea to anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Are you implying that we remove somebody from the tournament and you take their place? And by remove, I mean end their life?
I do not care what happens to them. I serve my master only. It would be the most expedient method. We have only 36 hours.
We shouldn't cheat.
Cheat? I would never cheat.
I do not need to cheat.
Well, we work for Boss Fataka. We can get an entrance.
Ooh, that's a good point. You work for a very powerful shell hut.
C2M8 kind of looks at Blue for a moment and turns his head, tilts it kind of to the left, and then says,
"You, my friend, you may prove to be the smartest one of your species. I like this plan."
"What's your tone, droid?"
"I'm sorry, I meant that as a compliment." "Please, Blue, lead us to your master and get us an invitation."
"Boss Fataka will not provide the invitation, but the boss has many Hintaro parlors."
I do apologize, Blue. I am not familiar with the inner workings of your organization. Could you please guide me in where we should go to next?"
"This is not that difficult. Boss Fataka."
And Blue starts to try and, almost as if he was speaking to someone who didn't understand Galactic Basic.
"Boss Fataka owns many Hintaro parlors, excuse me. We go to Hintaro parlor, get invitation to underground tournament. Then we enter tournament, win tournament, you get thing from human. Then we leave. It's not difficult."
"Which parlor should we start with then?"
So you leave the back room. Lynx hits this button on the wall, a door slides up, and you're able to access the alleyway. Quickly off that alley is a side street. The buildings are really tall. It's really loud here. There's a metal ceiling. It's a fake nighttime. So they have a day-night cycle. They fake it on the space station, and it is firmly evening. There's this soft blue glow in the upper tiers, and it's piercing neon everywhere. There's just people everywhere, and debauchery to the left and to the right, gambling halls, bars, and you get to a main thoroughfare crossroad, and
Blue takes his huntsman spear and points it down the left side of the thoroughfare and grunts,
"We'll go to the Blue Harvest."
Just down on the left, a block or two past people in fancy party attire, you get the impression that this Hintaro tournament, at least the public-facing one, is a major event here. People get dolled up to go watch Hintaro being played, even at a little hole in the wall like the Blue Harvest. It sits in the middle of the street. It's got an angular awning that advertises Hintaro all day, all night. There is a, well, at least it's the top half of a droid attached to some form of credit machine. Sitting outside of the doorway isn't the right term because he's part of the door too. So he's sort of like a half droid, half front door, half cash register, staring blankly forward at you.
That is three halves.
Yes. So he's 150% bouncer.
"Here, we'll go in here. We'll speak to Poodoo."
"Excuse me, sir. There is a cover charge this evening to watch the games being played."
"We are not here to watch. We are here to play."
The droid snaps awkwardly to face Lynx.
"Good evening. There is a cover charge to watch the Hintaro being played."
He extends one arm up.
Lynx rolls her eyes.
C2M8 walks up to the droid.
I do not believe you heard of the lady correctly. She is not here to watch. She is here to win. Could you please direct us to the person that will take her registration and give her her seat?
Please insert invitation.
There's a little side paneling that slides across to the right, and a wide slot to insert something into the stomach area of this machine.
Just a second. Hold on.
And Blue pulls out of a pouch on his belt. I'd like to flip a destiny point.
Oh, okay.
Blue pulls out a small, what would appear to be a credit chip.
Okay.
He holds the chip up in front of the droid, and the droid would immediately recognize this as Boss Fataka's personal emblem.
Excellent.
We don't pay cover.
This little sharp green light extends from a little pin in the droid's forehead and goes wide horizontal and then forms this box and scans the object you're holding up and registers exactly what it's looking at. The whole contraption shuts. The little paneling slides back forward. It rolls its shoulders and slumps over, and the door just pops open ever so slightly and starts drifting.
Well, that was effective. Thank you very much, Blue.
Working for the boss has its benefits.
I see that it does. After you.
Thank you.
And then C2M8 holds his arms out and gestures towards the door.
You first, droid.
But if this is a rougher part of town, I have no weapons to defend myself. That is what you are here for. Please, after you.
Lynx went first. You and middle, Blue, bring up the rear.
There's a moment where C2M8 just kind of stares at you and kind of locks eyes, and then turns slowly and walks in.
And the three of you enter the Blue Harvest. This is a dive. There is thumping music, loud laughter and shocks and oohs and ahs. There's the sound of credits and dice hitting poorly designed tables with torn felt and oblong warped wood. There's a bar against the right wall serving largely Blue drinks. That's basically the theme here. So Blue probably feels a little bit at home. I don't know. Is this secretly like your favorite place and you're kind of playing it off like you don't come here all the time?
Blue is quite familiar with this particular parlor. He does not play Hintaro, but they have a pretty mean gruel here that he enjoys, and they serve the most disgusting glass of frelp you'll ever have.
The most disgusting glass of frelp ever. And I'm going to spend a dark side point because that drink is called the Blue Boy, and it is named after you, sir.
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
And that is on special tonight and pretty much every night because nobody drinks it.
Every night because no one else orders it.
You've got a special named after you and no one else drinks it. I love it.
Yeah, no one touches this. Not
no one else
Blue.
Can digest it.
They're probably out of cups that you could serve it in, actually. Just
this is getting worse.
There is a human and a Rodian tending bar. Both are moving at top speeds, just trying to handle the amount of people in here. It's packed, Blue. It's much more packed than you're used to seeing it. You would assume that's going to be commonplace in most Hintaro rooms, but there are so many people here, it's difficult to survey the entire crowd at once, which is very unusual. And of course, everyone is playing Hintaro. Occasionally you'll hear cries of Taro and Hin and Tukar and all of the various gambling sounds that come with this game.
C2M8 leans over to Lynx.
I would really not like to see what Blue considers a dive bar, if this is what he considers a nice bar. But we are here. Could you please pick your mark and start playing?
Very well.
And Lynx walks up to a table that has an empty spot and says,
Blue, Let me borrow your card for a second.
Sure.
Blue, with his giant bluish-green thumb, flips the chit toward Lynx.
Lynx catches it and walks up to the table.
So the first table you come to has an empty seat. It's closest to the door, and you could tell why this seat was empty. There is a mass of foul-smelling alien creatures here. These people are dirty. They've been playing for a day straight at a time. They don't even notice you when you sit down. They're so engrossed in their game. It's apparently a really tight round. The players have just completed their throw-agains, so they've all re-rolled one of their Hintaro dies, and they are all currently tied. It's this very, very tense moment. The dealer has a tight grip on a die and is about to throw the Hintaro roll when I spend another dark side point. The ground floor isn't the only floor here at the Blue Harvest. There's a stairway on the left-hand side. It's this rickety pipe metal contraption that leads to a top-level overhang. It's difficult to see exactly the setup up there, but you can certainly see Hintaro tables, chairs, and what caught your attention is one of the chairs getting pushed back with such force that it just tumbled from that balcony and smashed onto a Hintaro table on the floor. The second part that catches your attention is the human male with both hands up in the air, quickly surveying around the room, chin first, if you catch my drift.
C2M8, do you see him?
Yes, I do. I feel that fortune has smiled upon us.
You can see now there's figures with guns drawn. There's blasters pointed at him.
Quickly, we must take him alive. We need to know where the item is. If they kill him, we will not know this.
And C2M8 is like pushing Blue in that direction.
Quit shoving. I'll take care of this.
Blue straightens himself up and walks directly toward the confrontation.
Blue, you start walking across the room towards that staircase attached to the left wall. People are just bouncing off you. They're all staring up. You can't hear what's going on. People are yelling back and forth. The commotion is about to set off when you reach the little staircase. It does not look Gamorrean friendly, especially width-wise.
Blue considers his situation and then turns sideways to walk up the staircase.
So you do the wall scoot up the staircase?
It's a very uncomfortable looking walk up the staircase. It's not intimidating at all.
No, it's a slow crab going uphill,
it's
basically.
It's really, again, Blue for a Gamorrean is actually very pretty fit. He is not your typical slobbering, overweight Gamorrean. He
Got
is
you.
Slobbering, but he's more of a strongman type of build, like a classic strongman, like a barrel chest, you know, thick arms. He doesn't have the paunch that other Gamorreans tend to have. He gets up the stairs and straightens his shoulders back out and tries to interject himself into the situation.
And what are Lynx and C2M8 doing?
I think C2M8 was going with Blue.
Oh, yeah. As soon as C2M8 sees Blue turn sideways and have trouble going up the stairs, he puts his shoulder into him and tries to help by pushing, but it's not doing anything.
So you've got a little assistance, Blue.
Knock it off.
Quickly.
And Lynx is following suit, I take it?
Yeah, she jumps up from the table and tries to crowd in behind C2M8, which really is not helping anything.
No, and it's one of those frustrating moments where you're on the staircase and you could be going so much quicker, but the person in front of you is going so slow.
So instead, she backs off of the bottom couple of stairs and jumps up to the next level.
Oh, yay. So you vault your compatriots then? Do a little sidewall run?
Yep. She engages those cybernetic legs and jumps.
Perfect. Let's get an athletics check then.
All right.
Our first check of the game.
All right. She has a brawn of 2, and she has 2 ranks in athletics.
Lovely. Your difficulty will be 1 for this, but I'm going to need to upgrade that because of the blockage on the staircase.
Would you call that a blukage?
Oh,
yes, a blukage.
Oh,
well done.
Oh, my God, that's marvelous.
I'm tempted to give you a boost die for
not,
that.
She's actually not vaulting over her companions. She's jumping from the floor straight over the edge of the balcony.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see if she's successful.
Okay, here we go.
So I'm really only looking for 1 thing.
Sounds
like I got it.
you got a nothing.
That was mean. You reacted all cool.
I'm sorry. I'm just tired of all those despairs in the last couple of the games. All right. So we have 2 successes, 3 advantages, and a triumph.
Oh, my gosh. To start off with?
Yeah.
That's mean. Okay. All right. So your 2 successes are enough. You are able to vault to the balcony location. What does that look like?
Lynx has, in her past, added cybernetic legs, the mod 2.
Okay.
What it looks like when she actually engages that is there's no preparation or anything like that. It's just part of her body. So what she does is she hops down from the gambling chair that she was about to occupy, plants both feet firmly on the ground, squats down, and jumps with so little effort and grace that it literally looks like a superhero jumping from the floor over the metalwork railing, lands lightly on her feet, and stares at this group of quarreling minions.
Okay, well, what you have in front of you is the human known as Spade Pontu. He's got a bunch of blasters on him. He's got a big toothy smile and both his hands up. His back is against the balcony railing just to your right. There are several alien figures holding weapons on him. There's a shady looking gank, some Duros. That might even be a human. You can't tell. They got a big helmet on. Currently, what you can tell is this quarrel is over some suspected cheating on Spade's part. But you have a triumph and 3 advantages and some friends on the stairwell. So what are we doing with that?
All right. I think we need to spend that triumph on you guys getting up here ASAP. What do you think?
There's a slight tear of fabric, and Blue suddenly shifts forward, missing a sleeve.
Gotcha.
There's a distinct clanking noise, and like a clutter, as if someone threw a handful of pans on the ground, as Mate kind of tips forward because of the, you know, his pushing. Suddenly the load is freed, and Mate kind of goes down to his hands and elbows on the stairs. I don't know that there's anything necessarily graceful about that, but it gets us back into the
that
situation.
That sounds great. And then we have 3 advantages that we get to spend also.
Can we use the advantages to see who is the leader of the people holding the guns towards him? Or who seems to be the most offended?
That's a great idea.
Absolutely. There's a Duros on the right. He's got a tight flight suit on as like an underlayer and this big jacket with this oversized collar and a big old blaster that's pointed at him. And what you notice is the other 2 figures holding weapons keep glancing over at him as if to see if he's breaking, but it's become this standoff. It's this silent thing where the Duros is just staring right at Spade, and Spade's eyes are darting between the 3 of them with this big smile on, and everyone's just kind of waiting for somebody to move.
Lynx turns towards Spade and says,
"Hello. Please allow me to introduce myself. I am Lynx. May I be of assistance?"
Well, hey there. Yeah, I think you can. You just came up out of nowhere, didn't you?
Yes.
We're just having a disagreement.
Yes. Excuse me. Let me talk to this fellow for one moment, please.
The Duros yells out of the side of his mouth without really taking his eyes off of Spade.
Don't get involved in this. This doesn't concern you. We got this cheat and we caught him red-handed.
Excuse me, sir. I do not know who you are, but my friends, Blue and C2M8, will be very upset if you hurt this fine gentleman. Why don't you and your friends go away now?
C2M8 steps up right as she mentions his name and just looks at the Duros.
Sir, this gentleman will be coming with me. I apologize for any inconvenience that you have. We will take care of cheaters the way that all huts take care of cheaters.
And as he says all huts, he's pointing at Blue, who he's hoping will puff up his chest and try to look intimidating.
Blue is looking at what's left of his sleeve. He looks visibly sad. He really liked that jacket.
It really tied the outfit together.
It really did. They're very hard to find in Gamorrean sizes.
Right.
And when he realizes that everyone is looking at him, he does indeed like kind of straighten his back and puff his chest out, and he kind of like taps his spear on the ground a couple times.
So two big heavy thunks on that balcony floor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get a check for that, I think. I believe that's going to be a coercion check, if I am not mistaken.
It will be.
Excellent. Let's roll Blue's coercion.
Blue's coercion is a yellow and two greens.
All right, so we're going to go with a difficulty 3 for this.
And are there any setback dice involved?
There are, unfortunately, as funny as it was, you were a little late to the chest puff out portion of the way this works. You guys are new, just starting to work together, so you haven't got the good cop, bad cop down yet, but you're working on it.
My coercion skill allows me to remove one setback die.
Well, I feel like you set me up for that now, and that's okay.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, well done. Well done. I will take that. All right.
Hooray.
But you are massive. You are carrying a primitive weapon, and anybody who brings a spear to a blaster fight is either crazy or knows how to use it, neither of which are good for my bad guys. So let's get a boost die in there.
All right. Rolling it out, and I have 5 advantages.
Oh my.
It's that sleeve, I tell you.
It is. It tied the roll together.
The missing that sleeve really just defeats my intimidation skill.
Yes. Yes, it
does.
That's
the sleeve I had the skull and teeth on.
Oh, no wonder it didn't work.
And you have like some kind of like floral tattoo underneath, I think.
God. There's definitely it's a tattoo of what appears to be a female Gamorrean. And in Gamorrean script, it says mom underneath.
Yes! Oh, I love it!
Got you.
That's awesome.
And apparently we now know Lynx can read it, which is good. We're just learning a lot about these characters.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. Okay, so you were unsuccessful.
Correct.
You did not intimidate these bad guys into doing what you want. But you did catch their attention, and they all look at you now. How would you like to spend those advantages?
Let's see. I'm going to pass one to Lynx for her next action.
Okay.
Can I give the leader a setback die because the tattoo surprised him?
Absolutely, and it's nice to know he is also literate in your native tongue.
Well, he might not be able to read it, but it's clearly a picture of a Gamorrean. Now, he doesn't know if it's male or female because it's impossible to tell from a picture. But
right.
You know, it could be his life mate, who he doesn't know, but the tattoo itself is frightening looking.
Right, and it's really well done.
It is
an incredible likeness.
So many sessions.
Which is all the more unsettling.
So many sessions for that. And I think I'll give, let's see, it was 5 total. I'll give one blue also to mate for his next action.
Okay.
And I will spend the last 2 realizing that he has not forcefully shown himself enough under his breath, Baloo says,
"Fataka won't be happy."
Okay. I think I get the gist of that. So those last two advantages and that name spoken, there is a light gasp in the crowd behind them. People do that thing where this has gotten a little too real for everyone, and everybody's just backing up a little bit, just giving you some space to work this out between you. The weapons are now firmly pointed in your direction and not on your good friend Spade. So that's a positive. He's not about to get shot, at least.
Uh-oh.
C2M8 just kind of moves a little bit to the side of Blue, so he's not in direct fire any longer.
Okay.
And then he just looks at the Duros.
Sir, how much did he cheat you out of?
It's not about how much money he took from me. It's the principle.
Understandable. How would you feel if you were to earn a favor from an employee of one of the Emperor's hands?
I'm listening.
Well, you see, if you let me take this man with me, and we just forget this happened, I will drop 100 credits here, and I will owe you a favor.
Okay, sounds good.
They lower their weapons.
Thank you, gentlemen. Blue, could you please escort the gentleman out of the establishment?
During all that commotion, Spade was just standing there with his hands up, and I'm going to spend another dark side point. Right as you're concluding your little arrangement with the Duros, he snaps his head over to the three of you and smiles that big toothy grin and says, "Well, thank you." And then he just rolls backwards and goes tumbling off the balcony, landing on a Hintaro table.
Sacre bleu!
Now, there was a couple interesting things about the way that went down. When he flipped over and hit the landing, that's all well and good. When he started moving, it was not right. It was not normal. He was not moving at a pace that any human being can. Lynx, you've spent thousands of credits and have replaced your biological legs, and you cannot move that fast.
Did you see that?
Spade is pushing down some back hallway past the restrooms you would expect heading for an exit.
Is it safe to assume that since I work for one of the Emperor's hands, I've seen Force users?
That's an interesting question. You've certainly been around them. Have you seen it in action?
Let's flip one of those light sides over and say yes.
Okay. You have a particularly sloppy handmaster. You've seen him use the Force. It's a source of great power in that creature, which is impressive considering how massive and powerful his physical form is.
C2MA leans over to Blue and just says,
Criff, he's a Force user. I've seen this happen many times. This makes things a little more difficult.
I'd also like to flip a Force point. I believe we have two left.
You do. After that, you have two light side remaining.
And while M8 is trying to explain this to Blue, Blue has turned to the wall panel next to the stairway,
okay,
ripped it open, and slapped a big red button on the side of the wall panel, and the place goes into lockdown.
Love that. Big alarms start blaring, all that terrible fluorescent yellowish light is cut with this flashing red. The audio track to the room dies. It's just replaced by this womp, womp, womp alarm sound. People are not pleased now. The temperature in the room has already gone up a few degrees from panic and body heat. For some reason, it also shuts off the AC.
Blue's going to take three steps forward from the stairway and just literally crash, go through the railing, and drop to the floor.
So you...
Yep. So Blue takes almost three running steps forward. His bulk just smashes through the railing of the balcony, and he drops to the floor in with his spear down and one knee down, and stands up and says,
"Everyone on the floor."
This has now become a robbery slash hostage situation, perhaps. The people that are not currently still engrossed in their Huntaro games, and there are a few, are now on the floor, possibly trying to find ways out. The bartenders are now drinking, and you have complete control over this small portion of the room, at least.
Lynx, down the hall, you're faster. Catch him.
Got it.
And she jumps off the balcony and runs down the hallway.
C2M8 is moving as quickly as he can down the stairs, kind of bouncing off the walls and making rather rude comments as he goes down about how uncivilized this is.
Excellent. And we will find out what happens next time on our Redemption Dice for Brains crossover event.
Once again, I'd like to thank the Dice for Brains crew for helping out with this. Ross over at Dice for Brains did the editing. He did a great job. And we will have the next chapter in this coming out in 2 weeks. So thanks again.
Redemption is played using the Star Wars role-playing game system by Fantasy Flight Games and Lucas Books. You can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at Redemption Pod, and Instagram, at Redemption Podcast, and our website, redemptionpodcast.com. Please leave us a review on iTunes or any other thing that you use to listen to us. It really does help us, helps people find us, and it makes us feel really good about ourselves. So I like to feel good. You know, you do. Wink. And if you like us, please consider our Patreon, patreon.com/redemption. It's we don't need it, but we love it. We appreciate it. We want to do this, and we love you for everything you do.